Alrighty, fam, you guys already know the deal. Any Given Sunday Australia, we're proud to be supported by one of Australia's fastest growing men's grooming brands, Nutcare. Proudly Australian, Nutcare is taking Down Under grooming to the modern day man. It was recently voted number one by Men's Health magazine with Bare Nuts hair removal cream, this little one I got here. Nutcare is revolutionising male grooming. As proud supporters of Any Given Sunday, if you use the code Any Given Sunday, funnily enough, at the checkout, 10% discount will be automatically applied across all their products. So they've got the butt care. Is it butt?
Bare butts.
Sorry. They've got the wood, the comfy nuts. Danny Boy will be rocking those currently in Sweden at the moment, we think.
Eden.
Not sure. Boots on the ground in Sweden, probably. But so yeah, code Any Given Sunday at the checkout, 10% will be applied across the range there. Get amongst it.
Brown 45.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households, one studio, Gridiron Australia app. Headquarters, sure. NFL Australia headquarters, NFL flag, that's getting big now. We're big in their headquarters as well. We're all over that. Up in Winnipeg, Montreal. We can't forget Montreal because they will get into us for forgetting Montreal.
Really drinks you on the internet.
Yeah, which is fair enough. We have learned a lot more about that, and we will talk about that in a second.
We will touch
joining us as always, as you heard from that Brian ad read, down each basement, wherever that may be, TC24 at Tim Carty, AGS, are you? How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Probably, I think, one of my best reads yet, maybe.
It was very smooth.
Maybe. Let me know. I don't know. Let me know if you think that was a good one.
Yeah, well, I did get a few messages about how much I stuffed up the last one. So.
Oh, good. So you should.
I hope it comes through to you just as much as it did to me.
Positive feedback as much as we're getting the negative feedback. It's great.
It's constructive. It's not negative or positive. It's constructive.
Yeah, good either way, you know. It's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
To learn.
I just got an email, Karts, from DAZN or Danzen or however you want to say it. They've dropped prices. They've cut prices again. Thanksgiving coming up. So they've cut prices. Make sure you hit up our link tree. The DAZN Game Pass code is in there.
Friday sale.
Yeah. Well, and that's leading straight into Thanksgiving. So they're feeling giving there. They've cut prices again. But it's also a big time to get to our merch store. I've been busy the last few days just adding in a whole bunch of new hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm about halfway done. So each team will have – I'm aiming for each team to have a hoodie. It's a little bit harder with the hoodies. There's not a broad range of colours like there is in the shirts. But each team will have a hoodie with the Any Given Sunday logo on there again. So you can hit them up. Wear a different team's hoodie. You don't have to say who it is. But they all look very schmick. I did see the Raiders one, and that silver – on top of the black looks divine, mate.
Your boy can't wait. I actually just jumped on recently, did a little order, got a T-shirt coming for the brother and sister-in-law. So looking forward to gifting those across to them. So that'll be good. We've got a...
Perfect for Christmas.
There you go. Maybe, do we look at it maybe a little Black Friday sale? Maybe.
I don't hate that idea. I don't hate it. We'll definitely have to talk about this online, not fresh, live on YouTube, like we always seem to do. But, yes, definitely good idea. A massive shout-out. You've already brought it up to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Jam Sheehan and the Montreal Alouettes and Joey Zima. They're kicking off on Sunday afternoon Canadian time. It's obviously Monday our time in the 110th. Grey Cup. So been around a long time, this cup. And two Australians, two pro kick lads kicking off, huge for the program.
Love to see it. Yeah, we are. Jam, I think, shared our, was it the reel the other day? So good to know he's still watching. And yeah, we're obviously rooting for him and the Winnipeg boys. Get it done. So we'll be watching along tomorrow.
Joey did actually get on and he commented and really he thanked us for getting around him as well. So,
all right, well, we're on the Montreal lads as well.
Yeah, the Alouettes. We're on our boys. We want our boys to play well.
We just want our lads to do well.
Yeah, that's it. So at least we're going to have an Australian winner. That's one positive, and we will be speaking with ProKick. We're going to try and get one, if not both of them, on post-game to have a chat. So that would be huge if we can manage to pull that one off.
Mm-hmm. Watch this space.
Watch this space. All right, we're going to get straight into our Thursday night review, Friday night or Friday, our game. But it kind of comes as a bit of a double header. So I'm going to play because
thank you for calling Dr. Danny's office.
Dr. Danny is over in Sweden, like we said, but he's left Nurse Cardi here. It is our review of what a little outfit. That'd be nice. It is coming up. Oh, no, we're past Halloween, haven't we?
And we're past. Maybe next year.
Next year. So I think it's a double header because we had two massive injuries and almost a third huge injury, but he managed to get back on the field and play really, really well. So in the game that was the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Ravens getting the job done comfortably in the end. But the two huge injuries that come out of it, mate, what were they?
Well, and just before we get into it, it's almost, yeah, this is like the news injury report and the Thursday preview all rolled into one because all that sort of stuff came out of this game. But yeah, unfortunately, as everyone would know, Joey Burrow, the quarterback for the Bengals, he's out for the rest of the year. He's torn a ligament in his wrist, I believe. Yes. I'm not sure which ligament it's called. But yeah, he's had scans confirmed that it's torn and he's out for the year. And the sort of the news aspect of that, I suppose, before we get onto the other injury is there was that really zoomed in, slowed down footage of him getting off the plane. And it looked like he had some tape or bandaging or something on that. So then people were sort of asking why wasn't he on the injury report? If there was obviously something wrong there, but then as you said before off air, he was throwing the ball before the game and looked fine and he looked okay in the game until that throw, it was a touchdown. Touchdown pass. So yeah, that throw and he went down, he was sore and he tried to throw it on the sideline and he literally just got to about his shoulder and just the ball fell out and he was just like, nah. And he knew, you tell in his reaction that he knew it was pretty serious. And they obviously
on that sideline, didn't it? When he threw it, just like the ball, you're like, oh God.
Oh man, he just couldn't hold on to it and couldn't control it. So knew straight away that something was pretty wrong there. So yeah, massive news. He's out for the year. Jake Browning, the backup, he'll be the starter now. But before we get into that too much more, and then the tight end for the Ravens, Mark Andrews, he's out. I think you said there's a broken bone in his ankle. Yeah, we believe so. There'll obviously be probably a bit of ligament stuff done too. But the sort of the news out of that is around the call it like the hip drop tackle. So obviously he got tackled. I'm not sure who the player was, but like classic tackle, you see, just drop the body weight and the hip drops down and Andrew's ankle just sort of got caught up underneath in there. And so there's been a bit of talk about trying to, I guess, make the hip drop tackle illegal. I think, is that, correct me if I'm wrong?
That's been talked for a while.
Yeah. So yeah, the bit of news to come out of those two injuries, but that's Andrew's, he's out for the year as well, which is massive for that Ravens offense. He's a pretty productive tight end and a good option for Lamar there. So big sort of implications for both teams coming out. Great win, 34-20 for the Ravens. Gets them to 8-3. The Bengals dropped to 5. Well, dropped 2, but they're 5-5, and they're still sitting down at the bottom of the division there. That we talked about. We previewed this game, and we said it was a more important game for the Bengals to win, just in terms of keeping in touch and keeping the playoff hopes alive. But you got to think now with Joey going down, that probably has got to pretty much stamp out their sort of playoff chances, you'd have to think.
Yeah, well, that was Jake Browning's first action at all. I don't think he played in the games previously when Joey was down. So
I think it'll be interesting to see. I've read that he's had one start before.
He had one snap. Didn't have a start. He had one snap.
Oh, one snap. Okay.
prior to coming out after the injury. So he did do all right, 8 of 14 for 68 and a touchdown. So look, you never know.
He looked okay when he came out. Like, he looked confident.
He did. He threw some absolute bullets.
Bullets. Like, yeah, he's throwing with confidence. He looked good, but he just, like, he's not Joey B. Like, he's, you know,
that's right. So
it's all well and good to come out and go okay for half a footy, but, man, yeah, to try and finish out the rest of the season.
Yeah, so Joey B, before he went off, was 11 of 17 for 101 with that one touchdown that ended up being his last throw. Mixon had a relatively quiet night for his standard, 16 carries for 69 yards, and they didn't really have anyone of note in the receiving game. It's all about the Ravens. They, like you said, 34-20. Lamar, 16 of 26, 264, two touchdowns. Edwards went for 62 on the ground. Lamar went for 54. I think the biggest thing to come out of it, because Andrews went out in, I think it was the first drive of the game, so really, really early. And, that can dampen a squad pretty quickly, especially when, like you said, he's been Lamar's blanket for, you know, the last 3 or 4 years. You know, just anytime he's not sure, just bang, hit Andrews. Odell Beckham, four receptions for 116. First time he's gone over 100 since he was at the Rams. It was in Super Bowl. I reckon it was the AFC Championship or NFC Championship
he
game.
He had a little bit of a vintage OBJ moment too, that little catch over in front and a little bit of a run, some yards after catch. But and that's the thing, to your point, with Andrews being Lamar's blanket, the Ravens finally went out this year and got him some weapons in Odell, and then they drafted Zay. So thankfully they've gone out and done that. And because if they had have lost Andrews and they didn't have any other weapons, that would be pretty doomsday sort of situation for the offense there.
Yeah, it'll be all on Lamar's shoulders, which it has been in the past, which didn't quite work out for them. But yeah, like, well, just even reading these stats now, they really spread it out. So it was 4 receptions for 116 for Odell, 3 for 43 for Zay. Aguilar went for 1 for 37. Andrews did get 2 for 23 before he went off, but obviously he's gone. Mm-hmm. Then there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other players that had a target, like, or a reception. So really spreading it out and giving him those options that he needs. Like, it's obviously going to be a huge impact. Does it derail their season if Andrews is gone? Like,
I think it'll obviously a huge impact, but I think they're still strong enough to cover his loss, like huge loss. Like, you can't downplay his impact too much, but I think they're still strong enough. And like, Lamar is firing, like he's looking super accurate when he's throwing the ball, and he's just rushing a little bit now, like getting some rushing yards, not doing too much with it. I think they'll be okay. Yeah, they'll keep ticking along. Like, they'll be fine, I think.
Yeah, beautiful. I agree. I think the fact that he went out early and they were still able to have the game they did, will give them confidence. You know, if he had gone out and they'd have floundered,
and they were up against the backup after half time. But you can only play one player. So,
but that's the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side was still humming to that point and after that point. So, but yeah, I think if he went out and they struggled, it might be a little bit more cracks appearing, but I reckon they have the confidence after being able to play so well once he went.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, and yeah, even losing him and then still playing so well will give confidence too moving forward.
Well done to the Ravens and bad luck to the Maxi's Bengals. I did get a little emoji with a crying face from Maxi after that.
Yeah,
the confirmation of Joey B going down. So
once it came out, it's like, oh, sorry, mate.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the third
rated.
It's time
for questions without notice.
Okay. Now, I did, of course, forget. So now the questions without notice is brought to us by our good friends at C2C Rare Threads. They've actually gone away. Shout out to them. They've gone away to get married. So they'll be away for a week or so, I believe. But they're still open online, and they've still got their Black Friday sale, up to 50% off and free shipping. So huge, huge for them. But you also get 10% off if you use our code. Yeah, congrats. Good on them. You got to do what you got to do. But yeah, 10% off with the code Any Given Sunday. I'm presuming after the Black Friday sales, because you're not getting 50% off with our code. But anyway, shout out to them for being such good supporters of the podcast. The question, I've got a question without notice, and then I've got a statement for you. The first one, it comes with a little bit of, a little bit of stats in there. So hold your horses for 1 second. But I just want to get in your mindset and just how you're feeling. There's been a lot of talk about the MVP award and CJ Stroud in particular, and the fact that, you know, should he be either up there for, he's definitely, I think he's $1.03 at the moment for CJ. Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. The MVP, he's like $19, $20. Jalen Hurts is the other one. I'm just using him for, or Jalen Hurts as comparison. I think he's about $345 roughly. He's a favorite up there, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I want to put your, so you're in the MVP voting. You're picking the MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how you pick it. Are you going for a player who goes out there and performs? He outperforms, you know, in the CJ Stroud, in a team that everyone's not expecting to do so well, and he comes out, plays pretty well, you know. So his stats so far this year, 2,626 yards. He's second in yards at a 62% completion rate, 15 touchdowns with only the 2 interceptions, which is huge, and the 86 rush yards for 2 TDs. And the Texans are 5-4. No one predicted that at the start of the year, unless you're a Texans fan, I don't think. Or the players such as Mahomes or Jalen, who are doing what they need to do, and they're playing in a team that's full of stars. Let's be honest. The Houston Texans compared to the Philly side, the Philly Eagles, one's packed, jam-packed full of stars, where the others are the up-and-coming. So Jalen, 2,347 yards, so 300 less at 68%, though, so a little bit more accurate. Same amount of touchdowns, 15. But the 8 interceptions, but he's also got 316 rush yards with 7 touchdowns, and Philly's 8-1. So are you leaning towards the player that's doing what he should be doing in a team that's stacked, or, you know, the rookie who's, you know, outperforming where he probably should be realistically?
I think so, yeah. So essentially we're talking about, like, what's your voting criteria, I guess? What are your parameters?
Yeah. And Jalen was purely just the one I picked out. Could be Mahomes.
Just in general. That's fine. No, I get you. So I think there'll be people that will argue against him being in the MVP convo because there's a Rookie of the Year award, and they'll be like, that's what will recognize him. But so I think you got to look at all aspects. So like you said, the stats have to come into it. Exceeding expectations, I think, does come into it. I think you got to look at, on the other side, for those other two guys, just Mahomes and Jalen, for example, like, you got to look at strength of opposition, who they're playing, and still getting it done against. So Houston have got probably a bit of a softer draw. So you look at the two interceptions as opposed to Jalen's 8. You look at the strength of who they're playing. So I think that's got to come into it as well. Ability to back up. So consistency comes into it. I think towards the end of the year, like, results as well, towards the end of the year, like, comes into it. So I think by no means should CJ be out of the conversation, but you got to take all those other factors in as well. And so Mahomes and Jalen doing it against the quality of opposition that they're doing it against, and consistently and staying up there, like, it obviously keeps them up in this higher echelon. But absolutely, CJ has got a seat at the table, I think, for sure.
Yeah, well, the other two that are up there, so Mahomes, I was just looking at the odds. Mahomes and Jalen, $375 apiece. Lamar's moved into $5, and Tua's currently sitting at $6. And then it blows out to CJ at $19 and Brock at $23.
Where's our first non-quarterback? What's the price on the first, like, the highest non-quarterback?
I don't know if there would be one, would there? Dak? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Christian McCaffrey at $26.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, that was just a little interesting aside. Yeah,
Tyreek's at 51.
I think you got it. Yeah, you got to take all those factors into it, I think.
Yeah, I think the one I didn't quite think about, which you make a great point, the strength of schedule, you know, like Houston finishing, they got the first pick, you know, I know they, or the second and third pick, you know, so they're definitely going to have a weaker schedule. So that's a great point, I think. Yeah, you look at the 8 interceptions and think, wow, but then you go, well, hang on a minute, he's playing you know, they're going on a run at the moment. The next four games are like
It's easy to kind of forget, like, and yeah, it's easy to sort of gloss over that, but it is such an important part of it, I think, for sure.
Yeah, beautiful. Nah, fair enough. I like it. I like it. So are you, at this point, you're still going Jalen Mahomes kind of way?
I think at this point, yeah, probably looking at one of those guys, probably
8-1 for Philly is definitely a
exactly like you know, exactly team record comes into it. So Jalen's probably slightly ahead at this point, but there's still plenty of football left.
There's a lot of football left. A lot of football left. All right, and my statement, and I think I'm going a little bit controversial with this statement. There's going to be 27 teams that are not happy to hear my statement, but I think the Super Bowl is down to 5 teams. So in the AFC, I think it's either Kansas or Baltimore in the AFC. And in the NFC, Philly, San Fran, or Detroit. So I think there's a lot up there, you know, Dallas. I think they're just too inconsistent.
I would throw Miami in there on the AFC side as well.
Yeah, but I've loved – so Miami I did think about, but Danny's been a great – he's been a big adversary, I guess, of Miami and saying
– Miami,
they haven't beaten a team above 500 yet. And when they do seem to come up to them, they struggle a little bit. So I want to see a little bit more out of that.
Okay. You know,
get a couple of wins of note before I can put them in that bracket. But at this point, I think it's down to 5.
I like it. I would sneak a 6th team in there, I think. But you pretty much can sort of, you know, you can put a line through so many teams. I'm just having a look at the standings at the moment. And there's so many teams you can
definitely
put a line
through.
Bengals
I've just ruled out. Like, it was 6. And then the Bengals probably got ruled out.
But yeah, just looking, I probably would bump it out to 6. I'm just trying to think who I'd put in that 6. Probably Miami, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Dallas was my other one on the NFC side.
Well, and that's what I mean, like, thoughts? It's hard to, you know, count them out. It's like far out.
They have played some great football, but I just reckon when a push comes to shove.
Well, if we're saying Danny's a Miami hater, you're a Cowboys hater. I think that's fair to say.
Vikings.
Yeah.
See, I think Josh Dobbs, I know he's going to be good going forward, but I just can't quite see my Minnesota getting to that next level.
I can't see him maintaining this level of like bullshittery that he's been getting away with, I think.
I do think they're a good side, but I'm happy to see them go down as well. But I'll put Detroit in there. Being an NFC North, I've put Detroit in.
That's big of you.
Thanks. So, good call or bad call? Just quickly.
Good call, I suppose you could say. I would probably chuck another team or two in, but good call.
Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Well, that'll be, I'll timestamp that one. That'll get a few, like I said, 27 teams, they'll be ruffled.
They'll be pretty upset, but that's okay.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this week's game previews before we get our most popular segment, the Lock of the Week, down pat. I've picked 3 games that I think are going to be pretty good games and probably not the games you're expecting. The first game we're going to talk about is 2 of the best defenses we're going to see going head-to-head, not necessarily 2 of the best quarterbacks. So it could be a real dogfight, this one. We've got the Steelers versus the Browns Cleveland. It's come out in DTR. You said it the other day, but DTR has been confirmed as the starter for the Browns.
Yes.
Versus Kenny Pickett and the Steelers. How do you see this one shaping out, mate?
Dorian Thompson Robinson. We did remember his name.
Let's go with DTR.
I think you've hit the nail on the head already for the sort of the story of the game for this game. It's going to be a battle of the defenses. The Steelers have been a bit lackluster on offense throughout the year, like, you know, all the sort of not controversy, but just all the heat surrounding Matt Canada and his play calling, all that stuff around the Steelers. They've been relying on their defense quite a bit. The Browns, we think now, are probably going to be relying on their defense a lot more with Deshaun going down for the season now. So I think that's going to be the tale of the day. It's who can get it done on defense and put points on. Whose defense can put points on, which both of them have, got a bit of a track record of doing, particularly the Steelers. TJ Watt loves to fly around, a little interception and all that sort of stuff. So whoever can put points on the defensive side are gonna take the day, I think.
Yeah, so it could be, I'm not sure what the under-over is, but I reckon the unders could be a huge bet here. 52% of the money is going towards 30, the Browns.
33.5 is low.
That is low, but it is TJ Watt versus Myles Garrett. 10.5 versus 11 sacks for the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, 52% of the money is going for the Browns at home, but that's a pick 'em game. Do you have the line, mate?
Stand by. I think it was 1.5.
How much?
1.5. So it's literally, it's a pick 'em.
Oh, yeah. So it's a pick 'em game, pretty much. The reason I've picked this game, so it's a 6-3, both the teams, 6-3. Whoever can get the win, scrap over the line, is just kind of hanging on to the Ravens. The other one, falls at 2 or 3 games back. So massive game for both sides to be able to just hang on. If the Ravens slip up going down late, they can be there to pinch it. And that's the kind of the AFC North is. We both think the Bengals are gone. The
Ravens, but you're still, you're in the playoff picture still, even if you drop this game. Just because of the strength of the AFC North. But huge. Stay in touch with the Ravens. Huge. Still a chance to maybe pip the division. It is looking like probably like the Ravens division at the moment. But massive, massive divisional game for these two. Expect it to be a pretty hotly contested one, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be. I can't even pick it yet. So,
I was going to say, what way are you leaning?
I'm actually kind of leaning on looking at both of the quarterbacks. Obviously, DTR's coming in, fresh. Kenny Pickett hasn't had an amazing season. 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, 1,600 yards. Najee Harris hasn't been amazing on the ground. So it's really, I don't know how they're going to score. It could be a nil-all draw.
the defenses are going to score.
Yeah. Well, great point. It could be one touchdown apiece in the defense. All I know is go the unders. That's my pick for the day.
Yeah, it's always a bit nervy going unders, but this feels like a game that, absolutely.
Definitely
take the unders
in the dog pound at the Browns. It's the unders the way to go. Do you have one that you're leaning towards?
Ooh. Probably just because the Pittsburgh offense have, I suppose, a little bit more consistency going with just with personnel and whatnot. But, it's hard. It's absolutely a pick 'em, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a reason it's 1.5.
At home, big two for the Browns. At home's big as well. Maybe lean towards the Browns.
Oh, I like it. The second game, again, two teams that are actually pretty tight in their standings. We've got the 6-4 Vikings versus the 4-5 Broncos in Mile High, I believe. Oh, hi, up at there. It's actually the Sunday night game. So the reason I've picked this game is obviously the Broncos getting a massive win against the Bills. And the Vikings, 6-4, if they get this win, they're 7-4. And like you said about the other two just then, they're still right in the playoff picture. They're going to hang it on the backside of Detroit in the NFC North. So huge game. Being in Mile High, the fact that the Broncos, I reckon, now have a little bit of expectation on themselves because they got that such a huge win. Is Russ going to come out and do Russ things again, or is he just going to go backwards like he had all of last season? And can Josh Dobbs pull out the, what did you call it, the bullshit things he's been getting away with the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think I said bullshittery or something, but that's the thing. I wouldn't like if I had to put money on it, I wouldn't like to be putting money on either quarterback just because can Dobbs maintain and is Russell, hasn't been consistent enough yet to show that he's back to the old Russell, I suppose. So I would hate to be having to put money on it. probably leaning towards the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Just because.
Interesting fact for the Vikings. Jefferson's coming off IR, but they haven't picked him.
So they've activated him off IR, but he won't be starting.
Not suiting up.
Interesting.
Whether it's just the travel to Mile High being a factor or give him that extra. They might have the bye next week maybe, which might also come into it. But, yeah, just an interesting fact.
But, like, TJ Hockenson's been huge in tight end. I think he was the NFL AUZ Player of the Week last week, I believe.
Nice.
He had a massive
game. He is their leading receiver at 71 receptions, 681 yards, and 4 TDs. Big TJ. So.
Yeah. And Jordan Addison, too. Like, he gets a lot of targets as well. So, and Dobbs is only, I suppose, like, you know, we're giving him a bit of shit. We've got to give him credit, too. He's only going to be getting more familiar with Kevin O'Connell and the offense and all that sort of stuff. So, yep. We do have to give him a bit of credit as well. Like, he has been he has been electric the last couple of weeks with some of the stuff he's done. Yep. But, yeah, so I think I'm definitely leaning towards the Vikings on this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards them too. But I don't know, can you grab the line up there, mate? 42% of the money is going towards Denver at home, which doesn't surprise me.
They're 2.5-point favourites.
They're like $1.60 favourites or something last time I checked. The Broncos, which I don't know. I kind of feel I'm a little bit more excited about or enthusiastic about what Josh Dobbs can do. You know, we know what Denver and Russell Wilson can somehow manage. But I don't know. I feel like Josh Dobbs got a little bit more flair to him, got a little bit more to play with as far as, you know, Judy and Sutton haven't really performed amazing this year. So, I'm thinking that the Vikings will get the job done here, especially with a 2.5 head start.
I think I agree. I think, yeah, I'm sort of leaning that way as well myself. Like, just inconsistency from the Broncos side of things. It would be hard to put your money their way, I think.
Agreed. And the last game, we had to preview this game. It is the Super Bowl rematch. Interesting stat. First time.
Preview?
There's only been five, this, including this one, five times since 1997.
Oh, look at your graphic.
What was that?
Look at your graphic.
No, not bad. I created that one this afternoon while I was sitting here waiting. There's only been five rematches the next year after a Super Bowl since 1997, including this one. And in the first four, the Super Bowl winner actually got the job done in the second game as well. So I don't know if that's swaying your tips there, mate, but Kansas City at home, 60% of the money has gone to Kansas City at home, which is probably not a surprise, but this is a definite battle of the Titans going into this week.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, it could be a bit of a preview to maybe what we're seeing again at the end of the year. But the line for this one is -3. Kansas are the favourites. They're 3-point favourites. Over-under is 45.5. So expecting a bit more offence here, which, you know, you would expect from these two teams at this point of the year. Philly have been just ticking along, haven't they?
They're just getting it done, where Kansas have been a little bit more shaky, again, I think.
Yeah, but and they which, you know, and everyone kind of says they tend to do. They don't start the greatest, but then they just start to hit their straps at the right time, start to peak at the right time.
They're coming off the bye to Kansas after being in Frankfurt.
I think both teams are coming off the bye.
Okay, that's good. And they're on the Monday night game, so they get as much bye as they can. But Kansas coming back, although they've had the 2 weeks, coming back from Frankfurt, does that play into it a little bit?
But both teams coming off good wins against, I suppose, we would consider strong opponents. So the Eagles got it done against the Cowboys, and the Chiefs rolled the Dolphins over, as you said, over in Frankfurt. But that's long enough to recover. Like, they would have been back
well and truly
pretty quick, I reckon, stateside. They would have been stateside pretty quick after that. Yeah, Chiefs have got the wood over them 3-2 in their last five games.
It's a good game. It's an absolutely cracking game to be.
It should be a good one. Like, hopefully it is a good one. Like, prime time, two kind of titans of the last couple of years. I think I'd probably lean in. Sorry, Danny, but I'm probably leaning towards the Chiefs at home, I think.
I'm actually going to lean towards the Eagles, but purely because I don't think Taylor Swift is going to be there.
You're going to the Swiftie effect.
So I did hear that a couple of Philly radio stations have banned Taylor Swift this week, and I let her play her. They're absolutely leaning into it as well. So I think we need to know prior to the game for punting reasons whether we get on Travis Kelce to have a big game or not. So we need to know. They need to put out a press release saying, will Swiftie be there or not?
Well, I think Trav's going to have a big game, and I think Jalen's going to turn the ball over a couple of times too.
I like that.
He's going to have at least two interceptions.
All right.
Two interceptions.
Nice. All right. Sure, I reckon we can bet on that market. So that'll be definitely one to have a look at, have a flutter at. It is my week to bet, so I'll be having a flutter at these kind of things. Huge game, though. I hope we can get Danny on to review it next week. He is in Sweden, which they do have better internet than us, so surely he can get on there.
You done. Where are you, Danny? Yeah. There you are.
In the Sweden, Scandinavian, isn't it?
In the Scandinavian countries.
As you were. All right, let's move on to our final and our most anticipated, everyone's favourite segment, Lock of the Week. Hashtag LOTW. Get around it. What do we got, mate?
Hashtag make me a sting. and this is controversial. So we've kind of touched on this, but going the same team twice in a row. And it's hard because we might have to try and find or get in touch with him before the game's tomorrow. But Danny's gone the Cowboys again. So not really going out on much of a limb there, Danny boy, but he's taken the Cowboys again. You're going to go with...
You want mine? All right. So I didn't want to give it away before.
I want yours.
I'm actually going to go the Steelers over the Browns. That's why I was a bit vague about my pick. Because that was my lock of the week. The Steelers are going to get the job done in Cleveland. Yeah.
I like it. Good. And because we've talked about, we're trying to go for a little bit more juice. Danny and Charlie have been a little bit more safe, you might say. Which is okay. It's their pick. But we do probably need to get a ruling on picking the same team 2 weeks in a row. We might stamp that out. Charlie's gone for the Lions. So he's taking the Lions over the Bears.
Okay. In Detroit too. So I think it's a fair decision, that one. If they're a serious top five team like I've put them, they get this job done.
Yeah, and like divisional games are always have a little bit more spice and maybe a little bit more potential for things to happen, but you know, you got to think the Lions have a pretty good chance there. And then I'm going with a little mix-up myself here. Or not mix-up, but just, I don't know, might not be that spicy, but I'm going to go the Jags. So coming there, Jags at home. So in Jacksonville, I always try and like to go to the home teams, but up against the Titans. The Jags obviously coming off a pretty shocking game.
Yeah, that's why I reckon this is a little bit juicy. There's a little bit of heat on the Jags at the moment, Trevor Lawrence and whether he's that guy.
Yeah, a little bit of heat on Trev. Like, they only put up three points the Niners last week. Absolutely. So, with the Niners. So, obviously, looking to bounce back, the Titans and Will Levis has dipped a little bit too.
They're going to stick with him, though.
So, yeah, could be a little bit – they're going to stick with him, which is good to see. So it could be a little bit of spice there. But, yeah, I'm going to take
that is a lot.
Hashtag.
I haven't multied it, but
– yeah, mate. Well, we've got to
try. So, I multied it the first week, and one of us lost – I haven't multied it since, and I think we've won pretty much every week.
I think we've been
kicks across the board, especially the last two or three. So I should have multied it. So I'll get back around it, and I'll multi it this week, and we'll see how we go. Yeah,
awesome.
Well done, mate. Another great episode. You've got a busy night ahead, so I've got to get you off here. Appreciate next week. I think we can come out and say it. It looks like we're going to have Charlie back on next week to have a bit of a rant about the Bills. I hope they get the win this week just for him because he
needs
another
bench.
Message
he needs
from
an
him.
Outlet.
He goes, unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to be jumping through some tables at the end of the season together, which is sad.
That's sad for us.
But I reckon we can still – he's got a pretty rubbery arm. I reckon we can get him to do it anyway.
Maybe if they have a big unexpected win.
So make sure you tune in next week. We'll get him on, have a good chat. Hopefully Danny back. So a huge thing. Massive week. A few blowouts looking like, but that could also lead for a few upsets, which could be huge.
Love to see it.
And good luck in the CFL Cup for the two pro kick lads, Jam and... I know the Montreal. Joey Zemmer. I know Joey. I'm just taking the piss. good luck to those boys. Sunday, Monday our time. Go the Packers. Yeah. Haven't said it for a few weeks.
Okay, fair enough.
Didn't need.